I think that's for real this time.
You ready?
Can anybody hear me? Okay. Thank you for coming. Good afternoon. And I am Wes Brown. And this is Scott Dunlap, my partner. And we both do security research as a interest. And we have previously worked in security industry as penetration testers and security assessment and application assessments and all that. What is Mosquito? Mosquito is a lightweight framework to deploy and run code remotely and securely in the context of penetration tests. It makes a best effort to ensure that the communication is secure. Special care is taken to ensure that deployed code is not stored outside of process memory space. It protects the confidentiality and trade secrets of code that is deployed and run on the target. This could be an exploit or a methodology. From past experience with working with proprietary zero-day, I have hesitated to puddle jump using the exploit because I'm afraid of losing control of the exploit, that somebody could be eavesdropping or somebody could be watching the file system for the exploit. And I cannot ensure that they can do file recovery on the disk. But this way, we can ensure that the exploit only remains in memory, the process space. At no time is the exploit written to disk, unless you swap. That's one case we can't really control if you force a swap. I have discussed the why. Often it is desirable to leverage zero-day code, but doing so is in uncontrolled fashion can have repercussions. Many practices have trade secrets and methodology distilled in the form of audit and exploit code that they would like to keep out of a target's hand. It is also very important is one problem I've had with many exploits is it transmits data and control information in the clear. If I transmit the control and data in the clear, I am endangering my client. I mean, using Netcat and all that is great, but you're sending your client confidential data over a clear text connection. So that's one problem I'm hoping to resolve. Well, here we have a technical overview. We have written proof of concept code to prove that this idea works. The interpreter is Lua. Many of you may know Lua as an extension language for games like World of Warcraft. We use an asynchronous cipher called RSA, which all of you know, is used for the initial handshaking between the client and server. It's a computationally expensive operation. So once handshaking is done, we move to a synchronous cipher called ISAC, where we trade ciphers and then the clone and drone communicate by the synchronous cipher. Another component is entropy generation. Cryptography is worthless without good entropy, without a good pseudo-random number generator. As you may have figured out, we use a console drone model. And one big plus is this code is extremely portable. We have personally tested and built Win32, OpenBSD for Intel 386, and Darwin. by testing on Darwin, Mac OS X, we have resolved any Indian issues by order Indian issues between 32-bit, 64-bit, or RISC and CISC platform. Why did we pick Lua? It is a lightweight and powerful procedural language. It is easily extensible with bindings. We have created bindings for RSA and OpenSSL. It is bytecode compiled, which is a plus when you're trying to deploy code. It is highly portable. It is written in straight ENCC, and it has run on Palm Pilots without any changes. It is easy to learn. It takes about 1 hour to learn if you already know a procedural language. Moving on, we need to talk about the asynchronous cipher. As I've said before, the asynchronous cipher is used for initial negotiation and handshaking of a secure channel. We pick RSA because it is well known in the cryptographic community. While it has weaknesses, these weaknesses are known, and that is more important to us than trying out some new cipher. We invested a elliptic curve cryptography, and we might enable that, but RSA is a known quantity. We use 4096-bit keys for the handshaking, so it's very unlikely that you will crack it. For the synchronous cipher, we ran into issues when we were looking for a synchronous cipher because many of them were had packet problems, where and packet implementation or copyright problems. But we found one that we like, and it's ISAC. It's a synchronous cipher used for cargo and drone communication, the actual communication itself, once the synchronous keys are exchanged. A stream cipher is 1 byte at a time, and it's very fast and very safe. And one of the nice things is we can use a large key at 192-bit, because ISAC does not penalize you for scaling the key. We could use a 16K-bit key or 32K-bit key, and it would make no difference to computational performance. Now, along with the good, we would be remiss as security researchers if we didn't talk about the bad things about our proof of concept, and that is entropy generation. It is essential to good cryptographic security. The problem is it uses OS facilities for entropy. The pseudo-random number generator in many operating systems are not very good at all. But on Unix machines, we use dev urandom. How good it is depends on the Unix derivative. OpenBSD's, not surprisingly, is very good. We use Windows 2000, and XP has a very good cryptographic library. And because we use the OS facility as a possible avenue of attack, we will probably investigate this in more detail. The cryptography library we're using, libtomcrypt, has some entropy generation functions, but they are too slow. When we tested it, it took 2 minutes to generate entropy. Mosquito is divided into several components. We got the core, which provides the basic functionality required by drone and console. The drone provides a remote process that contacts its match console, and it can execute scripts and commands that the console sends to it over the secure channel. The console provides a local process that controls the deployed drone. One of the neat features that we put in Mosquito was transport, and it's an abstracted way of to connect the drone and the console. I'll talk about that more in a bit. Let's talk about Core. Core is really nothing more than an augmented Lua interpreter extended with the following functionality. We have RSA encryption function, ISAC encryption function, networking functions, entropy gathering functions, and structured buffered functions. The drone is the Mosquito component that is deployed onto the target machine. It integrates the Core with drone-only functionality, meaning it's a superset of the Core. It executes Lua code sent by secured communication. And Lua code sent by the console is stored only in process memory. It is not stored on the disk. The console is the Mosquito component that provides a local process that controls the deployed drone. It integrates the Core with console-only functionality. It's a superset of the Core. The user uploads code to the drone by secure communication. And even more neat is the user can also interact with the drone in real time. We can interact with the Lua interpreter remotely. So you can do debugging and you can do code on the fly on the drone. Transport is an abstracted functionality for the console and the drone to communicate with each other. It transparently negotiates a communication channel between the drone and console and provides a read and write methods. And read and write are separate. And it's really neat because we can do different transport methods for different channels. We have TCP transport, which is implemented as a default, but we have skeleton code to implement DNS transport, ICOMP transport, UDP transport, HTTP transport. So if you could send HTTP in the path to firewall, but you can only go out by ICOMP, you can do that. You can send a message by HTTP, go out by ICOMP, or you can mix and match however you want. Affiliation is handshaking. It's the process of identifying endpoints as valid to each other that they are who they are, and it sends a passphrase to each other. So unless somebody gets a hold of a drone, it's very hard to intercept. And during the handshaking, they are exchanging synchronous keys for ISAC. This is the outline, the flow of console affiliation. We have, when the console affiliation begins, it starts and it waits for the drone to contact it. And if it times out, we actually have a timeout feature because we don't want it to go for too long or other people may intercept the drone and modify it and then do whatever evil things they want to do with it. So we will have maybe a 1 minute timeout or 30 second timeout. And we have a drone and a secret. And the secret matches, it generates the key to send to a drone. And that's the key that the drone is going to use to send to the console. And then we got the console affiliation mode. The drone mode is a little more simple. It generates the key. It sends its handshake to the console, and in that affiliation, it sends a key, and then it awaits the response from the console. If it times out, it's gone. And then if the console secret match, then it enters operation mode where the console can send Lua commands to the terminal. One of the neatest things about Mosquito is the build environment. Is the virtual machine is statically linked for easy deployment in a target. It's to ensure that all libraries are needed to function are available. Glue is a neat Lua script. It takes an executable drop file, the stub, with the binary C code function that the virtual machine, the interpreter, the socket library, the cryptographic library, and then it will attach the script in bytecode format to the end of the executable. And when the executable runs, it will go through the bytecode, and then you have all the functions defined in the payload. So there's two ways to get code in the drone. One is to embed it in the drone, and the other is to send it over the network. So if you have library functions that you're not concerned about, you can put it in the drone itself and have them available for all penetration tests. But then you can have exploit functions used for library code. Now, we have some ways to attack Mosquito. We have introspective debugging. If somebody is sitting on the machine with soft ice, there's not much we can do about it. We, as I've discussed, they use entropy attacks. And you can if you are fast enough, you can modify the drone binary itself before it's invoked. But you have to be very, very quick because the interval between the drone being deployed and being invoked is very short, 2, 3, 4 seconds at most. And of course, it's always cryptography attacks, like known text attacks. There are some neat uses of the framework as is. We can refactor exploits into Lua for secure deployment on the target. It is easily extensible if additional cryptographic methods are wanted. We can write port scan code. We can write SMB scan code and deploy it on the drone. So if you deploy the drone, you have all your exploit code, all your functionality there. It will also simplify the deployment of auditing tools if you have one VM for all the platforms you attack. All the dependencies are included with the drone. When we deploy a drone, we have functions that will detect the target architecture. Look in the stub library of executables. We have a Win32 executable, we have a Darwin executable, and then we have a OpenBSD executable. It will detect that. Take the stub, latch on all the Lua library code you want, and on the fly, stream it to be deployed. That's one of the neat things we can use with Glue, because not only is Glue a script, it's also a library function in Mosquito. We have some future ideas that we could use. One of the neatest ideas would be an integral high-speed packet sniffer and generation in the drone. That'd be great for port scanning or listening to traffic and interpreting the traffic. One thing that we wanted to do but weren't able to do yet was drone-to-drone relay. You got the console, you got the drone, and then you got another drone. And the communication is relayed through the drones as many times as you want. But at no time does any of the drones in between know what's happening at the endpoint drone, because we got nested encryption when you got the endpoint drone sending a, it's got its own key that only the console knows. It's passed and encrypted again and passed and encrypted again. Remember, ISAT has no penalty. So you can nest it as many times as you want. And we would like to do further refinement of the automated configuration and drone console pairs and consoles that can manage multiple drones. Right now, we can only manage one drone. Who are we? Got work for us? I'm Wes Brown, and I'm a security consultant and security researcher. And Scott Dunlop is a software engineer and security researcher. He's more of a software engineer, while I'm more of a consultant type. We are available and actively seeking work. Wes is particularly interested in me and full-time employment as a security researcher. We have a website, fmosecurity.com, worldwideweb.fmosecurity.com, if you want more information. Got any questions? As of tomorrow, we will be putting the entire framework code on SourceForge. It is under the BSD license. Feel free to do whatever you want with it. And that's it. Scott will be taking the questions because I'm deaf and I can't hear the audience.
We didn't bring any binoculars so we could lip read. Yes. The 0.2 footprint was about 160K. We hadn't done any optimizations with any of the C compiler flags. We were hoping to target for about 80 to 90K. We've been encountering some problems with the fact that we have to bundle most of our dependencies with the actual drone. We're not making any assumptions about availability of things. We're just assuming standard C live. In the case of Win32, you know, the standard DLLs. The current 0.3 is a little bit heftier because we put in live TomCrypt, and a lot of TomCrypt is very easy to strip down. We just haven't had a chance to do it. Sure. We are supplying a general-purpose socket library called Lua Socket. It's not quite performing up the standard that we'd like, but the goal was to provide the ability to do further network penetration and auditing from the drone. Very often in audit, you have a situation where you've managed to breach an edge system, and you need to get deeper in now that you're past the firewall and to see where you can go once you've gotten into the bastion. And that was kind of the purpose of the drone. Yes. We certainly kicked around the idea of abusing some of the DRM APIs in Windows XP. Unfortunately, most Unixes don't provide these. OpenBSD does provide some functionality for preventing writing into swap space, but that is one of our more major vulnerabilities, is the possibility of later analysis of the swap file. Unfortunately, I don't have a console running on Win32. I haven't linked one. Get the Macs, but they're not cooperating with the projector today. It's very embarrassing. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. We are relying on live TomCrypt, which is fairly simple and is configurable and can be stripped down, and of course, Lua, as you mentioned. And our only other major dependencies have been just Lua extensions. The stuff that we've added in, the structured buffer and everything else, are actually pretty simple. If there are buffer overfunds and if there are buffer overfunds in Lua, that is a problem. However, the way the construction works, once the drone has been deployed, there's a fixed window, which is configurable, of how long the drone has to contact the console. The first one to contact and correctly complete affiliation within that window basically gets the connection. After that, we drop the listen socket, and basically we just run with that one transport until it dies. So buffer overrun exposure is pretty minimal. As you mentioned, there's always the possibility of someone trying to respond before the affiliation goes through. But unless there's some kind of very specialized IDS, I don't see that happening.
Yeah. We were investigating how to deploy this by shellcode. And if we can do this, then we would have no drone on a file system at all to intercept. It would be in the process memory of whatever program we buffer overran.
Any other questions? We got to cover for a time not having our demo.
Well, you're always free to email the questions to that address over there. And of course, the code itself will be available for your inspection tomorrow on SourceForge. We will deploy it to SourceForge.
Well, once you put something on SourceForge, barring intervention by lawyers, it's there pretty much permanently. Matter of fact, their policies are pretty strict about not taking something back out of the public domain once you put it there. So once it's there, it's there. Yes? It really depends on public interest. I don't have an active use for Mosquito. Wes does. It was basically my entertainment here was just getting it out in the open and just basically I wanted to see what everybody thought of the idea and the actual algorithm. Wes, of course, considers it a more usable tool because it's more in his line.
At all? I guess. Thank you for the loan for the laptop.
Yeah. And thank you for the patience.